In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We were supposed to have like a parade and like banners and confetti.
And all you got was a stupid Santa hat.
All I got is a stupid Santa hat. But it is episode 100, and what a banger of a show to have for 100.
Yeah, a banger of a winter meetings,
I'm
too.
I'm just edgy. I'm grumpy, and it's going to show throughout
grumpy
the show.
Grumpy with the Santa hat.
I am.
I should have called it a Grinch hat.
Well, there's bad Santa. Do you see this violent Santa one with David Harbour?
What's his
Stranger
name?
Things? Yeah, I love that guy, by the way. That
guy's, it looks a little edgy, though. Don't take your kids to see that.
Well, I'll screen it first, but it looks pretty good. But yeah, I am edgy because...
I don't mean your kids, Brian. I mean kids in general. Okay. I think your kids will be able to handle that.
listen,
Daddy's beating him with
so
a
we
bat.
Had this. We had this pre-show art fight. It's not even a fight because we don't fight. But he wanted me to make sure we led with Aaron Judge instead of Xander Bogaerts, and he's like, "Xander's not that big a deal."
I said, "Judge is a bigger deal."
Okay, but he is and he isn't. He is because it's 6'2" versus 6'7".
Say that to every
it's
Yankee
bigger because it's 360 million. Yeah, but. Screw
all right,
the
let's
Yankees.
Put it this way. Were you sitting on bated breath for Xander Bogaerts' decision?
No, but could you tell me what bated...
That's my case.
Could
the
you,
judge...
Could you tell me what case. Bated breath actually is?
I don't care what bated breath is. It's
okay,
a
I know, it's a saying.
It's like up in arms, listen, edge of your seat.
So
more questions than answers.
So we'll start with Aaron Judge. What I will say, I am not the only one, but I said, and I might have even stolen the take, I don't even know, but I felt pretty early on when they released... And then you read the stories, and it was not the case. It wasn't a done deal. But I was like, how do you re-sign Cashman
exactly
and not sign Judge? So why would you give that guy 4 years if Judge was going to leave?
Yeah, and I thought the exact same thing. Like the day you sign Cashman, the next day, all of a sudden, like the biggest prize free agent and one of the biggest seasons in history is gone. Right? That's not a good look. But then again, did you think that the San Diego Padres were going to try to swoop in and get him in
no.
the 11th hour? I thought he was going to San Diego to make a meeting and make an announcement.
Well, that's where the owners' meetings, the GM meetings were.
I just assumed he was going to be Wednesday, noon East Coast time. You'd have a nice little presser. And next thing you know, you're waking up Wednesday morning and it's 8 a.m. and you're like, holy cow, Aaron Judge is a Yankee.
So the bottom line is it's 9 years, $360 million. So the AAV, if you do, obviously you do your math, it's $40 million. He could have made more money. And so to me, the essential question to you as a Yankee fan is, that should make you feel really good about his decision.
Yeah, it does. I mean, some Yankee fans will say, well, you know, players should want to play for the Yankees. We shouldn't be begging players to come there.
But you shouldn't be begging.
Shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, when was the last time you had a player like Aaron Judge and a year coming off he did, right? We can beat that horse all we want. I'm very happy the Yankees did it. Now, are we going to eat it in the back end of the deal? Probably, right? But
there's no doubt.
There's no doubt. But all these contracts that are getting doled
right.
out, even if these guys that are 26.
You're buying the player for 5 years,
right?
And then the rest of it's a crapshoot. It may work out, but the odds are it won't.
But at the same time, you got probably the most marketable player in Major League Baseball, other than maybe Shohei Ohtani. I would say right now he's probably more marketable, Aaron Judge.
Because it's more... It's easier for Americans to consume the personality.
Exactly. And the whole, and America loves home runs, right?
Yeah.
You know, since Babe Ruth. And so I think it's a huge deal. It's a very huge deal.
Here's a couple of thoughts on it. And one you'll be fine with it, and one you won't. And the bottom line is, you look at it both ways. Like, to me, it's not, I don't think the Yankees, oh, it's a privilege to play there type thing anymore. Like, that's gone. They haven't won a title in over a decade. Taxes are high, visibility's too high. I mean, if you can make the same money in a place like San Diego or Kansas City, you can live much closer to a normal life than you can in
Absolutely.
New York. So that's one thing. The second component of it is that this is where the conversation really should be, is that they have Aaron Judge, but in my opinion, they're no closer to winning a title. And in fact, so the biggest thing is if they lost Aaron Judge, they would have been the middle of the pack of all of baseball. And so now they have the burden of high expectations without a championship caliber team. Now, I know the Astros will probably take a step back this year. I don't know how they can't. They don't have Verlander, and I just don't. And I actually think Vasquez behind the plate, even though he's number two, is a huge part of their success. I can't imagine they'll go to the playoffs, but I can't imagine that the Astros will be as good as they were this year. Having said that, I look at the Yankees still with Judge, and I'm like, they're not that scary.
Right, right. And that's the argument, because like coming off of last season, right? And the Judge carried him the whole way. But at the same time, I will say the magic word, injuries did kill the Yankees, right? It wasn't right at the end. When DJ LeMahieu went down, Michael King went down.
Even Stanton was out for
exactly. So, but going back to your point about, you know, Judge in New York, he has proven that he can play there, right? He is. Yep. He knows the pressure.
And he doesn't hate it.
And he doesn't hate it. And I think, honestly, I think that was probably a big deciding factor with him, is he knows he can play there. He feels comfortable there. And I think, you know, for someone like him, again, being one of the most marketable players, or probably the most marketable player, it fits the mold, right?
Well,
it fits the mold very well.
And listen, there's two things involved. And again, without knowing him, you spend your whole career with one team. It puts you on a pedestal forever. And if he is the most recognizable face in baseball, whatever lost revenue without going to San Diego will easily be made up.
Exactly.
In national type endorsements. Not that he wouldn't have gotten them in San Diego, but I do think him having a different uniform would have sort of taken his stature down a notch in terms of visibility.
And worldwide marketing too. It's a global thing.
I don't like the Yankees. I'm not even a big Aaron Judge fan, but I think it is absolutely the best decision for him to stay there. And if you got 360 out of the Yankees, and he's going to go down as a legend, and you know, and hopefully we'll catch up with Matt Sorois if we can a little bit later in the show, but he'll have his statue out in, what is it, center field, left field, whatever field that silly little area is.
Yeah, and to answer your second question, yes, the Yankees do need help, right? And there's questions to be made. Are they going to get an outfielder?
Can
they do it?
Do they have enough money?
I don't think it's going to come down to so much money. I don't know if they want to spend more money, but they do have trade chips, right? I mean, everyone talks about Glaber. Everyone talks about the shortstop and infield surplus they have. I mean, everyone throws around Brian Reynolds' name, even though they say they weren't going to trade him. Listen, we all know when you say you're not going to do something, a lot of times you do it, right? But Brian Reynolds is going to command a lot because he's got a lot of control. Now, Glaber's still got control, but then there's other younger Yankees with Peraza Cabrera and Peraza. So, and Volpe. So it's like the Yankees have trade chips. Now, I do think they're going to have to probably try to sign Rendon. That's the only really good pitcher that's still out there.
Well, they lost a pitcher.
They need a pitcher, yeah.
Did you like Taijuan Walker? Was it Taijuan? Who was the guy?
Jameson Taillon. I did like him, but, you know, again, off of two Tommy Johns and just, you know, you never know. Like, with any pitcher, you never know. But when you're coming off of two Tommy Johns, who knows the longevity? But he was great for the Yankees. I would have been happy to see him come back. I'm just shocked, again, overall, these deals everyone's getting.
The amount of money
and the length of these contracts, too, is insane. But going back to the Yankees, my prediction is they stay in the course on the infield. Who knows what they do with Donaldson? No one's going to eat that. Maybe they try to go with one of the big name shortstop rookies that are coming up to plug them in there. I don't know. Might be too early. Go with IKF for a little while. If they do trade for an outfielder, I would have to think that Glaber is going to be involved in it because he's got control and he's got proven ability to play. He's coming off probably his best year since 2019 last year. So, you know, I know that's only 2 years because of the pandemic, but he played a lot better. So his stock is up, right? And he's got control. So there's a lot of questions for the Yankees, but I say they sign and they trade. That's how they get around.
I assume if you can keep Stanton healthy and LeMahieu is healthy.
It's health.
And you have Judge. I think the focus should be on pitching. But, you know, I don't care enough about them to do a deep dive on them.
If the Yankees stayed healthy last year, they make a way different. The whole thing is
yeah,
just different.
I know, but that's like the hype. If I was 6'2", maybe I'd have played D1 hockey.
Exactly.
I
mean, it's all about health. With any team, it's about health.
So he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. The reason why there's a couple major reasons why I think arguably the Xander Bogaerts signing with San Diego is a bigger story. One, I just go off the fact that I deep down did not think that Aaron Judge was going to leave. I wanted him to leave because I wanted the Yankees to suffer and I wanted you to suffer. But I felt like he was always going to stay. There's a couple storylines. One is San Diego wants to spend money and couldn't spend money. It was like Brewster's Millions.
Right.
Like they couldn't spend the money. They tried to get the dude who went to Philly,
Turner,
Trey Turner,
yep.
And they tried to get Judge, and they couldn't. They outbid everybody and still couldn't get the player, which I wonder why. And I think ultimately I feel like it's got to be taxes. Like, why wouldn't you want to make $30 million and live in San Diego? Like, why wouldn't you want to do that?
The only thing I can think of in the Turner situation is he played with Harper in Washington and they
and just
want
to be together.
Maybe he just wants to play for Philly. I mean, you don't know what goes through these guys' heads, but yes, they do have a lot of money to spend, and it's weird because their television market is insanely low compared, but they do have an insane amount of money. But at the same time, Manny can opt out after this year. The pitching staff is basically gone after this year. The pitching staff is old, other than, well, Blake Snell is relatively young still, but and Soto could be gone after 2024. So they have a lot of questions. They've dumped a ton of money. You don't know what you're going to get from Tatis.
Well, I just that's another sidebar is if he moves to right field. First of all, I mean, Tatis' stature has fallen so far. People do not respect the way he's carried himself the last 2 years.
And honestly, I don't think anyone really expects anything from him, which is kind of crazy because you know the guy's going to come back and play. I mean,
you would think so. You would think so. But if you look at his contract, you know, he's still not making the big money yet. I mean, the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years of his contract is when it kicks up to like $36 million a year.
It's all guaranteed.
It's crazy. So this brings me to Xander. And this is why, you know, I basically said, and you can go back in the show, that if Xander left Boston, I would question cutting my season ticket ties to the team.
For a lot of players over the last.
No, I feel like Xander. I think Xander is the one. And
the proclamation.
No, there's no other player. I wouldn't say it for anybody else. And so, the one piece of suckerism is that I've already paid, so I can't get out for this year. And then I get back, and then I, you know, whether it's the Yoshida signing or whatever, and then I think about what makes me excited about the Red Sox for next season, and the answer is nothing. And I don't even care if this guy from Japan is really good, and by all accounts, he's really good, and he's going to be great for the Monster and all this stuff. And so I am crestfallen that Xander Bogaerts, because he's the connection. This is how it goes. He's the connection to 2013, and 2013 is the connection to 2004. And so he's the last tentacle that makes me feel like I felt in 2004. And he's a great, seems to be a great person who came up through the ranks here, and I think he's a good player, not a great player. And so, but having said that, when I look at 9 years, $280 million, no, 11 years, excuse me, 11 years, $280 million, it's only $80 million less than Judge. I don't, if that was what I had to do to keep him, I hate to say this because intellectually it's true, but emotionally it's hard. It's not worth it. Like, so the Red Sox, he's not worth 11 years, $280 million, especially to San Diego. And you talk about how many years will be wasted on the back end of that contract. I don't even know. But even if it was 6 years, I'm not sure. I would have given him with the AAV 6 years the same one, but 11 years, I don't begrudge the Red Sox for not matching it because it's a stupid it's a terrible contract for the team.
I feel like, I don't know, all these long.
This is worse. This is 2 more years than Judge at a guy who's never really produced at the top end of his position. He's an all-star. He's a great clubhouse guy. But he might not even end up at shortstop for a couple years.
The length is just insane. I don't understand the whole. I mean, Harper got a long contract, but all these contracts, there's no out. All these new ones, there's no out. There's no trade clauses. Like, it's like they're there.
That's crazy.
They're just there. They're not going to get rid of them, you know? Like I said to my wife, when this whole Aaron Judge in San Francisco was going down, you know, I said to her, I said, you know, the crazy thing about this is if he leaves, he's not coming back. Like, he's not going to go to San Francisco and come back. Like, yeah, maybe when he's 42, he might come back for a cup of coffee and do a Pujols.
Right.
But he's not going to be. It's just, he's gone.
No.
Like,
right.
So, like, Xander Bogaerts is gone. He is San Diego's problem. for the next 11 years. So he's either going to play for them or he's going to sit at home and play golf.
Right. Which brings me to the Red Sox. And I want your take. And this, people listening, it's something that's developing. We know Chaim Bloom, and they're sort of starting off this franchise, and they are allowing him to do his long-term plan, right? The question was, after this disappointing season, what would they do? Well, they're clearly allowing him to go through the whole process of really building up the minor leagues and having a dynamic where the good players you lock in early, and they're going to let him operate from that template. So when it comes to the Red Sox, I get it. But I don't know. There's not a chance they're going to win 95 games this year. And they have to win 95 games to probably get the wild card. Because you know what? Toronto, even if they go a step backward, they're still better than the Red Sox. I think that the Orioles are only going to get better.
Yep.
And the Yankees are not terrible. So if you take Bogarts out, and even if the Yoshida guy is good, there's no way the Red Sox are going to be that much better. And so my thing is that I have to suffer through three more years of mediocrity to find out if Chaim Bloom can build a foundation that'll end up being as competitive as Houston is for 5 years. I don't know.
And Devers is a free agent after this year.
Yeah, but I think I've heard enough from people full circle that everyone said that if Bogarts goes, Devers is gone. Devers is a guy they might pay because he's 4 to 5 years younger than Bogarts.
It comes down to, does he want to stay?
Right.
I would feel that.
But if you pay him enough, he would stay.
He would be the guy they would try to pony up money for, and they would be in position probably to do that. But going back to like the 2023 Red Sox, you know, and I texted you this morning. I mean, what are they going to look like? They have Hosmer, right? Hosmer's back.
Uh-huh.
And they'll have Devers at third. So they have a pretty good corners, right? But their pitching is super sketchy. Super sketchy.
100%.
Their middle infield, super sketchy. Is Story going to go to short, or is he going to stay at second? And Gita Downs.
I think that Story, first of all, it's almost like listening to a politician who says they're not doing something, they're not doing something, when you know they are, and then they do it.
Because you've been talking about the Story waiting in the wings.
It's funny. If you listen to enough Boston media, they parsed his opening news conference, and he said something about playing second base for now. There was like a for now in there.
Yeah.
In his initial news conference that people went ballistic over. And knowing nothing other than following this crap, I think of course Story goes to short. Although I think he's a very good second baseman.
Yeah.
I think he has better upside all-star wise at second than he does at short. Yeah. So, but my instinct is they'll just let him go back over there. So
I don't think he's your answer at short.
I think the Red Sox could be, you know, a 75-win team.
But at the same time, they're not going to go out and spend money on the remaining free agent shortstops out there because they didn't spend the money on Xander.
Right, but that's why this Kenley Jansen thing is so stupid.
I don't get that.
You can go get an $8 million closer and get the same results, but they spend $16 a year for two. Anyway, I just think the bottom line is they're going to let this guy do his thing, for better or for worse, and Red Sox fans better buckle up for hoping you're at least third place finish is the best you're going to do. And listen, if we come back in May and they're on fire, then I'll gladly, you know, whatever crappy food you want me to spoon down my throat.
That Santa hat.
I'm not going to eat the Santa hat, but I'll wear it. Listen, before we go, I wanted to bring in producer Matt Sirois, because we know from previous shows he's a huge, huge Yankee fan.
Matt has been with us. I'm trying to think right
not
off the top of my head.
Not from
day one, but I would say at least 40-something episodes. Yeah. Probably close to half,
yeah.
I would think, not more.
He's a friend of the show.
I'll have to check the numbers.
He's a friend of the show.
We love the way he goes about his business, by the way.
So just give us, we'll go hot takes on Judge, Bogarts, and then, you know, give us your take on where the Red Sox and Yankees are.
I mean, I told you on Tuesday I was refreshing Twitter like an absolute fiend because I had to see what happened, and I don't know why I had to see what happened first before anybody else knew.
By the way, we all couldn't have been more wrong on like timing and like all this stuff.
Well, I mean, it's crazy how social media is too. I guess there was like a guy that like tracked a private plane from where he was.
Oh, yeah, there's a dude that does that. He can track.
And there was like, it had like a flight planned out, like, oh, there's a private plane leaving here to go to San Diego, and Judge is definitely on it. And it's just so weird, like, how that's that's been going.
And the John Heyman tweet obviously was ridiculous.
He owned that too, like, in an article.
I know, but how does a guy? I don't want anyone to lose their job, but he makes that mistake a lot.
He does.
He's made mistakes,
and he spelled his name wrong too. It was so bad.
Arson Judge.
I mean, which is kind of a cool nickname.
Dumpster fire is what it was.
It's so bad. That tweet is bad on so many levels.
Yeah.
You know, it's like negative. The biggest free agent signing in history. You blew it, and then you blew his name.
It's almost like he wanted to be the first one, obviously, to report it. So he was just typing so quickly with his thumbs, and he's like, just send. And he was like, oh, no, arson. No, I did not send that.
Should be an edit button. It's like negative press Kofifi.
Damn you, Elon Musk.
Okay, what do you think?
I mean, I love it. There's no way that the Yankees could have moved on without Judge, in my opinion, honestly. Especially the big thing for me, too, is if he went to San Francisco and the Giants are opening up their season in Yankee Stadium on March 30th, if Judge was wearing the Giants uniform in right field,
it might have been a low point for the – it would have been like in your lifetime if that happened. And he was in a Giants uniform, and they open up against the – that might be your low point as a fan outside of 04. Outside of 04.
Outside of 04, yeah.
100%. Yeah, and like I said to you when he did sign on Wednesday, that like for me, I'm 34, 33. I can't even tell right now. But when I was 8, Derek Jeter came into the league in 95, 96. So I had Derek Jeter my whole life, and now that my son is 2 years old, it kind of like – was sentimentally to me, like, there's nobody else on the Yankees that I could bring him up and be like, this is what baseball looks
like.
He's
the guy you would want. Yeah. Although I'm going to get my talons into Mav early.
But if you look
so at, he's not going to be a Yankee fan.
You talk about Jeter, right? And remember when Jeter was a free agent, it was a whole different story, right?
Yeah.
Jeter really couldn't really go anywhere. The market really wasn't dictated for Derek Jeter. The market wasn't huge for Aaron Judge, but it was there, right? He could have left. Not to say Jeter couldn't leave when he had the chance, but...
But Jeter was like Bogarts when he became a free agent because he was worth more to the Yankees than he was to anyone else, and he wasn't productive to a point where he was worth the salary that he might command.
He wasn't commanding the...
So the market wasn't so big for Judge because only a few teams could afford him.
Right.
The market wasn't big for Jeter because he didn't fit well with most teams and with their salary structure. Okay, so you have a sense of relief. Now you look at it... I was just wondering from, 30,000 feet with someone who doesn't really care about it, what about the Red Sox, and what do you think, like, is the Red Sox, are they toast forever?
It's tough to say because losing,
that's how I...
Mark it down, baby, they're toast.
losing Xander Bogaerts is obviously huge. I mean, he's great defensively, great in the bat and that lineup and everything. I mean, you don't know how this guy is from... I'm always kind of halfway skeptical with Japanese players coming over because obviously the Japanese league is so much different.
It's like the one or two players that didn't pan out have ruined them all.
Yeah.
It's like they've all been good except for like two. And
right. Yeah, but I mean, you never know. I mean, in Fenway, it makes sense to have him. You know, he's the guy that hits a ball like on a rope from what I've seen. So, like you said this morning, like he's going to pepper, that wall.
But like Koji Uehara and like... Daisuke, not so much, but Boston really embraces Japanese players.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the fans really like having Japanese players on the team for some reason. I don't know about other cities, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, the Yankees always...
With Matsui and...
embraced.
I wonder what Kayagawa is up to.
Man.
But they haven't all panned out.
Like Arabu and Kayagawa, like the two Yankee ones, never panned out.
Arabu, may he rest in peace.
Yeah. So Matsui was the real deal, though.
The last call is, I mean, are the Yankees, they're no better than last year, though.
No, they're not. And I don't think that they should be done either. I mean, I think they really need to put pressure on the market still and go out and get like a Rodon. Like type of pitcher.
He's the best one that's left.
Yeah, and they really need another start, especially after losing Taillon. Taillon's 14-5 last season. Yeah. He came up at big moments when they needed him to. He was a solid pitcher.
And like Sterling says, you know there will be injuries.
Yeah, you need seven. I really feel like you need seven starters going into spring training who can be starters.
Rick Porcello retired.
He did.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I really liked him.
Yeah, well, you don't have him anymore.
I like, you know what?
Sorry.
And you know who I also like? I'm a huge Eovaldi fan, even though he's gotten hurt. Like, I don't.
Another one, like, never know. Like, how many surgeries?
If he stays healthy, man, I just, the guy's got guts. Yep. And I just, I'm a big, big fan. But for me, the last thing I'll say is that I don't have anything to get excited about. And I don't know if, you know, I can tell you that I'm committed to my season tickets because we already sent in our money and I've already taken money from my group. But I don't know that if I can sell them at face value, if I'll go to any of those games outside of opening day. And it's just because I think you can win in a cost effective way that isn't the way they're doing it. Like, I don't think you need to do it like the Padres way. And I don't think you have to do the. I think there's a way to do it where it's kind of like this nice mixture of some big free agent names and developing your talent. And they're not. And there's this big sentiment among people underneath the surface that Fenway is focused. They want to sell Liverpool. They bought the Pittsburgh Penguins. They want to get an NBA team, maybe even an NFL team. That somehow the Red Sox, when they bought the Red Sox were it. And now the Red Sox are just
a portfolio.
They're part of the portfolio. And to me, even though I like a lot of people involved with the team, it's really insulting. And I think Chaim Bloom's really smart. But I just think that, you know what? It's so tough for me because I think 11 years, 280 is crazy. I mean, I do think it's nuts. But I'm super disappointed he's not with the Red Sox anymore. So if it could have been 9 for 250 or whatever, or 7 for... I don't know. I wish he was on the team, but I can't scream and yell that they didn't give him 11 bleeping years.
Yeah, you got to wonder if what the Red Sox would have offer
him. I want to know what they did offer. Yeah. I do. That was the best tweet of the week, I forget what the exact one was. Basically, like, it was after the Judge deal. It was like, Red Sox still waiting on offer to Judge for 3 years and $56 million. Just thought that was so funny. Final words. First you, Matt, and then you, John.
I like talking about baseball when it's cold out because it makes me feel warm and fuzzy. And, you know, pitchers and catchers right around the corner, right around like Valentine's Day. So
that's crazy.
It's so wild how fast it's 2 months. Happens, but yeah. It's crazy how much money got thrown around in the last week and made
$1.8 billion. During the winter meetings, doled out in contracts.
Shows you how much money they're making because they don't lose money.
It's insane. Obviously, Aaron Judge, it's great to have him back. I haven't been like this excited for a free agent signing probably for the Yankees since Bernie Williams. And that was like, I think, 98. So, I mean, I don't think we ever thought he was going to leave, right?
Right.
But Bernie, I think, was going to leave. Not the same signing, obviously.
No, but that's still, it's good for you to.
It's still a so big the, deal.
In 24 years. There's never been a bigger signing for you than this signing.
Yeah, and I'm going to put Jeter in a little bit.
No, I understand the qualifier, doubt about it. Yep. But that really puts it in perspective.
It's a good holiday for us at the Santa Claus. The boys were very happy. They were very happy that Judge got signed.
And next up, by the way, are you going to bring the boys in for Jackson Olsen?
I'm telling you, they're pumped about that, especially the younger one. The
pull him out
grader.
Of school.
He's like,
if you don't know Jackson Olsen, he played baseball at the University of Hartford. He might have made a good run in baseball had the pandemic not hit. Yeah. But instead of hanging around, he's like, you know, okay, I'm sort of going to hang it up. He's got a huge TikTok following.
Someone told him to stick to the internet. That's what he did.
And he got picked up by the Savannah Bananas, and he's from Connecticut, so he is coming in studio. I think that episode will drop on December 21st. And of course, you're welcome too, Matt, if you want to come and sit in on it. Hopefully, I'm going to try to see if he'll do a TikTok.
Yeah.
With us, so we can get some attention.
We're exciting though, because you know it's cool because he's a local guy, and it's like, you know, the Savannah Bananas are a big deal. It's crazy. First, I thought they were a joke, right? Like everyone else, like, come on, this is baseball. But you know, I think the pandemic helped them too.
Bottom line is, my concern now is that they're turning into too much of a globetrottery thing. But
they just did add 20 more, dates to their world tour.
Yeah, they're gonna bring a team with them, like the globetrotters.
Yes,
and just,
but they're convinced
that they got to come in town and play the guys.
They convince us that the other team is good and that the other team can't win. But you'll have to give a kidney to get a ticket to Hartford in August. You can't get you're not gonna be able to get it.
If they let you know they're coming. I think the towns could scare up some teams in Miami.
Well, maybe you should pitch that to them, John. But either way, Jackson Olsen, episode 101. which will drop on December 21st. Gentlemen, have a wonderful holiday. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.